Hey there, hockey fans. Welcome to the Power Play Sisters podcast, where the world of hockey meets sisterhood. In today's episode, we're going to be discussing the new docuseries that came out on Amazon Prime on Friday, as well as contracts, because it seems like there was a couple contracts that got signed that didn't get signed, and yeah, so let's dive right in. Alrighty, Tess. Did you or did you not finish the docuseries?
I finished it the day it came out.
Oh, okay, word. All right, word. So, I did not remember what date this series was coming out on. So, on Friday night, I was, like, just scrolling, trying to find something to watch, because I finished The Circle, which, kind of happy about how that played out. I didn't want to watch any more Love is Blind because they're annoying me right now. So, I go on Prime. I don't really ever use my Prime Video feature. But something in me was like, yeah, just go on Prime. Like, let's see what's going on there. And then I saw it. And I was like, this is it. This is what I'm doing. I binged watched it up until, like, 2 in the morning. I'm not even gonna lie.
Well, I mean, you got off work a lot later than I did.
Yeah, I got home at, like, 7:30-ish?
Yeah. I came into the salon that morning, and I was looking for something to watch, and I saw that it was on. Totally forgot that it was going to be coming out before the season started. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, fuck everybody else, this is what we're watching today. Literally, all my clients today, even if they're not interested in hockey, I'm like, you need to watch this. So I'm like, anytime we go to leave the room, I pause it. Oh. Because, like, I'm not missing anything. And, you know, typically when I put something on in the salon, I just let it play.
You just let it roll.
No. Yeah. This, we're pausing it, and we're waiting, and then we come back and we finish it. And I literally, like, I came in at noon. Mm-hmm. It was my first client. It was at noon. Put it on at noon. Finished it later that night at home. I was halfway through the last episode when I got off work, mm-hmm. turned it off, went home. Said, sorry, Justin, this is what we're watching. Restarted the episode from the beginning because there were some things that I missed because I was talking to my last client.
Right.
Restarted it from the beginning. I'm like, you need to know this too.
This it was is like important.
That, it was like that meme. And you should know this too. You know, like that TikTok yeah. trend. Yeah. So it was literally like that. I was so enthralled in the whole series. It was so good.
I honestly, yeah, no, like it was really well done the mm-hmm. way that they did it. So, like, I'm gonna, like, clap to, like, the production team and, yeah. like, everybody. I really like the inside scoop of everything and, like, how it was filmed, how, like, the players talked and, like, they were very, like, open about their experiences and, like, how they feel about certain situations. Like, I really, really, really liked it. So I hope we get more like that. I really yeah. do. But what I was really shocked about was, you know, they followed, like, certain teams up from, like, mm-hmm. beginning to end. Obviously, Oilers, Panthers, they followed from the beginning to the end.
Right.
But I wish we would have seen more of Dallas.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot, if anything, really, on Dallas in that whole series. Which is kind of sad. Because, I mean, like, I don't know. We know how much I hate Dallas, but I feel like, because this whole docuseries kind of made me change my mind and opinion about McDavid and the Oilers and everything. I have a newfound respect for them as an organization and as McDavid, or for McDavid as a player. And I feel like the same could have happened for me with Dallas if we would have seen, like, Jamie Benn mm-hmm. on that series. You know, and even just as the captain. You know, if we had seen him in the episode with just the captains in there talking about, like, you know, his experience. And let's be real, Jamie Benn is a really good player.
Yeah,
and he captains the Dallas Stars really, really well, too. And if we would have seen just a little bit of that, I think it would have been nice. And even seeing, like, the rookies, too. No, I guess they're not technically rookies, because, like, they're second or third year in the league. But, you know, seeing Wyatt Johnson and Robertson and stuff like that would have been really nice also.
I really would have loved to, like, see Wyatt Johnson in it, just because, like, he was, like, a top performer during the playoffs.
No, he really was.
And I would have loved to, like, have his thoughts on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And just to, like, see where his head was at for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I would have liked to hear him talk about playing against Vegas.
Yeah.
And even just talking about playing against Vancouver.
Yeah, or just even going to the conference final. Just in general.
Just in general, how he felt.
But, like, it was also, like, shocking, like, going back to the Oilers. And I know how last week I said, you know, McDavid is the guy you build the team around. Obviously, that gets said around the league all the time. He's the guy you build a team around.
Yeah, but having it confirmed in the docuseries.
I was shook. I was like, oh my god, I know what I'm talking about. No. But then, like, how, again, I said, this man does not need to carry the whole team on his back. That's not fair to him. But everybody puts that amount of pressure on him that, like, no, you need to carry this whole team on your back because you're one of the greatest. Mm-hmm. And it's basically your responsibility. And, like, watching McDavid, like, throughout the seasons, like, you always see him. He's so calm. He's so collected. Mm-hmm. Very calculated in, like, how he plays.
Yeah.
But then, like, watching him break apart and, like, start screaming.
Yeah.
Like, get it together. This happens every year. Yeah. Like, just, like, I know, like, the pressure that he is under, and everybody has a breaking point. And I really think that, like, that was his breaking point right there.
I mean,
and it shook me to my core. I was like, wow.
Yeah. I mean, and at that point, I feel like it should be a breaking point because for every NHL hockey player, this is a pivotal moment in your career. This is what you're here for. This is why you're in it.
Cup or bust.
Literally. To get to that point, to get the highest achievement you can possibly get in your whole career, mm-hmm. that's a big deal. And then, you know, to obviously go out the way that they did, it's really disheartening and it sucks. I mean, it's soul-crushing to, you know, go through that. But I think they need to give themselves a little bit of slack, too, because they made it to the finals. Like, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, they made it there. That's a big enough accomplishment in of itself.
No, being down 3
and then coming back like they did. And then coming
back to force a Game 7.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Records.
Literally, I have so much respect for them.
Yeah.
And they, like, just not giving up, because I feel like most other teams at that point would be, like, giving up. But they didn't. They really, like, came through for it, and I don't know. Like, yeah, it was kind of, like, a boring game to watch, but I feel like it's still, like, a really big deal.
No, it is. I feel like I feel like any Game 7 in playoffs is a big deal.
Yeah, just playoffs in general.
Well, yeah, playoffs in general.
But, like, the final.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a really big deal.
I feel like that's a big deal, and, like, I really think the Oilers, they could have had it. I don't know what happened, but they could have had it so badly. And, like, it was shown, like, they had the needs to make it, but something just didn't connect. And I think it was because of the Panthers, and they even said this in the docuseries. Matthew Tkachuk himself said, we want to break them.
Yeah.
And, like, I've said that during playoffs itself. I was like, the Panthers, they break everybody's will to play and their ability to play to their best ability.
You've literally said that. Literally. Literally.
Like, I think, then like, watching the Ranger series, because the documentary, like, it brought up a lot of, like, those old feelings that I had during playoffs, mm-hmm. like, that I forgot about, that we didn't talk about in episode 1, like, how the Ranger series, like, I was really nervous about it, but I wanted Rangers to pull through, obvi, because...
Yeah, I had Rangers going to the final.
With
in my
Vancouver,
playoff, yeah. My projection bracket.
Yeah, and, like, watching it back and, like, basically just how, like, the Rangers bent over.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
No, literally, they bent over and took it.
Yeah. But I think, too, like, with the Rangers, they played so hard during the Carolina series... I think they were burnt out at that point.
Really? And they played so well during the regular season, too.
Mm.
You know, because they won the President's Trophy also.
Yeah.
You know, and to take that number one spot overall in the league, and then you go into the playoffs, and then you play your hardest in the first round against Carolina. And then, of course, you go up against a team like the Panthers. You know, there's a lot of young players on the Panthers, too.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that Tkachuk is a menace mm-hmm. on the ice. And we all know that Florida's main goal going into the playoffs was Cup. Like, mm-hmm. their eyes, like, I'm talking blinders. Like, their main focus was just on the Stanley Cup itself. nothing else, just the cup, and they were gonna do anything and break anyone to get there. That's why they played the way that they did, and that's why they got the cup ultimately.
Yeah, I think because they also like avoided a lot of injuries this year. I don't know how they managed to do that, because I feel like they were playing even dirtier this year than they were last year.
Yeah,
which I don't know how that's possible, but they did. But like, for example, like, and I know we discussed this prior, that call that got missed, that goalie interference.
Oh yeah, the one where they challenged the goal and then the refs determined that it was a goal. That one that Bennett scored.
Yeah,
that one.
That one.
Yeah, I know. That's like, so the refs get me every time, because it's like, what do you mean? What do you mean that's not a penalty? What do you mean that is a penalty? Like, sometimes the calls that they make just don't make any sense. And that's one of them. I feel like people a lot of times bring up conspiracies. Like, oh, do you think the NHL is rigged? And a lot of people say that because of Vegas being Bettman's, like, favorite. Mm-hmm. But, like, if Vegas was really Bettman's favorite, do you know how many Stanley Cups they would have won by now?
They would have gotten that in their first year, babe.
Literally, if they were Bettman's favorite.
Yeah.
You know, but I feel like the same conspiracy could be said for the Panthers also.
Mm.
Maybe they are a favorite. Maybe they're like the low-key favorite, and that's why a lot of calls that should be made on them aren't made on them. And why a lot of calls that are made against other teams that they play against are made when they shouldn't be. Because think about it. Another player gets a penalty. Panthers are on the power play. They have an advantage. Mm-hmm. Not to say they don't earn
their
status and, you know, their points and whatnot. Because obviously they do. They're, like, the team is just a really good, sound team. Obviously, we can see that in the way that they played in the playoffs.
I will say also, and, like, I thought this during the docuseries too, I didn't know much about Paul Maurice, like, as a head coach.
I didn't either.
I didn't know much about him, but watching the way, like, he talks to these men, and when he put the goalie equipment on, like, he put the glove on, and he was like, oh, this is hard for an old man, but, like, he got down and was, like, and
showed them.
Like, I feel like that, like, he cared a lot, and, like, he wants to talk to them, like, I'm in this with you, like, I'm not trying to just put pressure on you, like, pressure is on me, too, type situation. And I feel like he's the best head coach for that team.
No, for real.
And
they definitely, like, the vibes match.
Yeah.
I feel like, in a way, too, as a coach, as a head coach of a team, he had something to prove also, because they went to the finals last season and didn't get it. So I feel like, also along with the players, he felt like he had something to prove as, like, someone in charge of a team. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Good for him. He did it.
He did.
Yeah. I do like the way that he talks, like, in the conference, you know, the press conferences and stuff like that. I like the way he talks.
He's so, like, unfiltered.
No. Unapologetically himself. He's so just, like, matter of fact. Like, fuck the bullshit. Like, I love that. But yeah, Paul Maurice is a... He's a really good coach. He fits really, really well with Florida, too. And I think the two, like, the vibes of each one just matches really, really well.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think it's, like, it's nice and refreshing to see, like, head coaches having that respect for their players. Mm-hmm. And then, like, just the dynamic and the vibes meshing so well. Because I feel like we don't really see a lot of the head coaches. Like, I know we get the press conferences and, like, we get, you know, basic feedback from them, but it's not
unfiltered.
Yes. It's like how we get in the locker room.
Yeah.
And I want more of that, because if a team is not doing well, like, is it because of the head coach? Is it because of the certain plays? Like, what is it? And I feel like this go around, we were able to see it with the docuseries, and, like, it made sense.
Yeah.
Like, you know, with Oilers getting their head coach as well, that had worked with McDavid prior, and, like, him being brought in and, like, okay, I understand the dynamics of Draisaitl and McDavid. This is how we're going to do it, because he already had, like, the vibe down,
right?
And that, like, the familiarity of it,
right, and how they worked and stuff. And I feel like that can also be attributed to the reason why the Oilers were able to make it to the finale like they did.
I think so,
yeah,
honestly, in my opinion. I was like, I was really, I was so happy to see more of, like, pasta, because I don't know, I don't know a whole lot about pasta, and I'll be honest, like, I've seen him on the ice, and I'm just kind of like, oh, okay, you know, pasta, like, that's what his name is.
He's funny.
He's a funny guy, but, like, getting his backstory.
Yeah.
And, like, where he had come from, and, like, all the heartbreak that he's been through in his life, my heart, like, really goes out to him. It really does. And I think it's nice to, like, hear that side of players' stories as well. Because, like, you know, they don't really want to talk about that stuff. But, like, having the ability to, like, him being open enough and willing and comfortable to talk about it in a series, like, again, applause to the production team for allowing that.
Yeah. I mean, the whole point of the series was to get this inside look at, you know, the players and the teams and stuff like that. I like that they brought Nylander into it also. And I also, before watching this, had no idea that Pasta and Nylander were besties.
No, I had no idea either.
No clue. And I also love, like, how, like, Willie had said they were friends but not really in the beginning, because Pasta didn't know how to speak English, and Willie didn't know how to speak Czech.
Yeah, but, like, they had made their own little language.
Yeah, like, way of communicating with each other, which is, like, that's so cool. And, like, I like, too, now that they still have a relationship with each other.
Like, them meeting up before games for a dinner.
Yeah,
or, like,
I think that's so cute.
Just to hang out really quick.
Yeah.
I think that's so fun, and I didn't know that they were friends either. That would have never
crossed my mind at all. Because they're two different personalities.
Completely.
Like, two totally different personalities. I feel like Willie is just the pretty boy. You know, he's like the pretty boy.
Oh my god, no. Him sitting in his chair and he was like cross-legged, you know?
I loved it.
All prissy.
I love Willie though. Because, like, I don't know if you saw this one, like, if you saw that part of the episode where, He was talking about some, and he goes, "You guys bitch about shit." I'm like, bro, that's so real, though.
Oh my god, no. When they were sitting on the bench.
Yeah.
And there was, like, I think he was talking to Matthews, actually.
No, yeah, because it's the core four. Mm-hmm. And he was saying something like, you know, you just need to get it together. Like, you just have to get it together or something like that.
No, he was like, stop fucking crying, bro.
Yeah.
You're bitch about nothing.
Yeah, you guys bitch about shit.
Get it together. Like, no, that took me out. Because, like, I thought during the trailer that Matthew said that.
I did too.
Well, I thought he was saying it because, like, you know, he now got his captaincy announced.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, I thought he was trying to, like, get to, like, that captain spot. And that's why I thought he would say that. But Nylander saying it is, like, so much funnier to me. Like, but I think it was interesting how, like, they brought up Nylander and, like, his $92 million contract that he signed for 8 years.
Yeah.
And then he's like, oh, I have all this pressure on me. Yeah, if I signed a $92 million contract, I would have pressure on me, too, to prove that I'm worth that amount of money, because honestly, I ain't worth 10 cents. I'm gonna be honest.
You're worth more than 10 cents. 92 million's a stretch, but more than 10 cents for sure.
Yeah, 92 mil.
I wish,
actually. No, but then when, like, I like how they, that we finally got a reason as to why he was out those first three games.
Yeah, I did, like, have a feeling that it was concussion-based. So I saw somewhere where there was a mention of, like, headaches and migraines and such like that. And I'm like, yikes. Yeah, you should probably take care of that, honestly.
And monitor it.
Yeah, because, like, concussions in and of itself are really bad. And migraines are debilitating. Like, I know after my accident, having, like, the whiplash, the migraines that came with the whiplash that I had, that was debilitating in itself.
And you can only imagine, like, being a hockey player.
On the,
like,
ice, too.
On the ice with the lights. Yeah. The fans.
The noise.
Even sitting in, like, an arena, it's loud.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine what it's like for them, you know, getting shoved into the boards and, like...
Oh, I know. Even any little movement. Yeah. When I would have a migraine after my accident, like, any little movement, I'd be, like, in agony. I'd be like, please, God, I can handle my back hurting because, you know, it's broken, but this migraine, I can't handle this. Mm-hmm. So, the fact that, like, it's really commendable, though, to for him to be like, I need to take time off. Mm-hmm. Like, I need to take time off. And I would hope so, considering, you know, a $92 million contract. But everyone getting mad about him taking the time off and everything, too, is like...
Well, because a lot of people didn't know what was going on. And so they were like, oh, we just signed this guy for $92 million. Where is he?
Yeah.
Here's his face on a milk carton. Where is Nylander? Like, where is he? You know what I mean? Because they didn't know.
Have you seen...
Willie, help us.
Last seen at Scotiabank Arena.
Well, because, like, again, like, they were even asking, like, head coach during conference, and he's like, no comment.
Yeah.
Undisclosed. Undisclosed. Like, just tell the people.
A lot of coaches and, like, staff in, like, front office are very, very hush-hush about players' injuries. I feel like it's a privacy thing.
It is.
Like, I feel like they're just doing it to protect people. But, like, you were in the freaking playoffs, man. Like, and we all know that Leafs fans are die-hard fans.
They are such a cult. So it's
like, no, they really are. And I love them for it. I absolutely adore Leafs fans for how, like, they're, like, hardcore. Like, yeah, it's been a couple decades since the Leafs won a cup, but they're still so, like, for their team and everything. And, like, I don't know, the people need to know, but I think because they are such a cult following, it's better to protect the player.
Oh, no.
From the fans sometimes.
Yeah.
Hot take, but.
No, I totally get that.
The fact that in the series, he had mentioned the feeling of, like, you know you need to take care of your body, but you also wish that you were out there fighting with your team for the prize. And how, like, on both ends of the spectrum, it kind of hits you mentally in a way that you don't fully understand until you're in a situation like that.
Yeah. Like, you want to do it, but, like, physically you can't.
But you can't. And it's better for you to take the time to heal and get better, and then come back better than before, than to push yourself through. Because, I mean, we see what happened when players push themselves through. You know, like, last season, in the final between the Panthers and Vegas, Kachuk having the broken sternum situation, you have people playing through, like, herniated discs, and just all kinds of, like, things that you could prevent worse injuries down the line if you were to just stop then playing on them. But you want to push through to the final.
Because you want to contribute.
But, like, all of that being said, though, I feel like head injuries are so much more important to take care of than any other bodily injury.
Yeah.
Because, like, head injuries affect your mental. If your mental health is not in check, the rest of you is not going to be in check to perform the way that you need to.
Yeah.
Point blank, period.
I will say, like, speaking of injuries, I didn't know that Forsling was, like, having all of those, like, ankle injuries. Or not Forsling. Right?
Yes.
Forsling on Nashville?
Forsling on the Predators? Yeah, he was having issues.
Yeah, I didn't know that he was having issues. Or that he was married to a country music star.
Wait, she's a country music star?
That's what they said.
I don't remember that. She's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Oh my god. I, like, just looking at her, I'm jealous. Like, who, do you do your makeup?
I want.
Or do you hire somebody? You look so good.
Regardless, that face was beat to the gods. And I thought it was so funny, too, how she was talking about how she watched him have his first fight in the league, like, her, like, one of the games she went to, and they showed a clip of it, and I sat there and I was like, really, you got scared of him fighting over that? And I have this thing about hockey fights, okay? A lot of it is just, like, pulling of the jerseys, like, you know what I mean?
Like, it's like pulling hair, like a girl fight.
Yeah. And, like, that's what it is. Like, they're barely throwing fists. Like, that clip that he showed, he was He didn't even get one punch in. Nah. Like, if hockey is... there's a fight in hockey, I want blood.
No, for real.
Put the blood there. Then I'd be scared. But, girl... for real?
Miss Mayo.
Miss Mayo. Also, speaking of Nashville, when they score a goal...
It's just like the Devils.
It's just like the Devils.
You suck.
You suck.
But they don't do the na 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 na. You suck. They do the...
hey, you suck.
I kind of like the hey, you suck better because it's a lot more cheery.
But, like, here's the thing. Nashville. Southern.
No, of all places.
Of all places. Where is the Southern hospitality?
Not in Nashville.
Not in Nashville, babe. But, like, when I saw that, I was gooped. I was gagged. I was like, are you serious? Y'all do it too? Y'all doing it too? Who else is doing it? Because whoever it is, who started it? And cut it out, please.
Cut it out.
Cut it out. I mean it.
I do remember when we saw the Devils in New York and we heard that for the first time. I was like, oh my God, that's so rude.
No.
I was like, that's so rude. But also, like, where are we standing in the league so far? Because last I checked, Vegas was ahead of Jersey. So who really sucks in this situation? And then I'm like, I mean, like, why can't you just cheer for the fact that your team got a goal instead of the fact that they got a goal on the other team? Like, why are you highlighting that? Like, why aren't you celebrating your team? Instead of celebrating the loss of another team? Like, that was kind of, like, my thought process when we saw the game in Jersey. And it's kind of the same thing with Nashville.
Yeah. Well, remember how, like, my former boss went to Nashville to see a game? And she was like, you thought Jersey was bad? No. Nashville is worse.
Welcome.
Love it.
It gets so much worse.
It gets so much worse.
I would love to go to a Nashville game, though.
Also, like, for the docuseries, it really opened my eyes as to why, like, Toronto has so many problems. Mm. Because, you know, core four.
Yeah.
They focus on those four players.
Yeah. And they should focus on other areas within the team.
Mm-hmm. And I really think that is goaltending. Yeah. That's my opinion. I really don't know. That's just, like, how I feel about it.
No, I can agree with that. I feel like, I mean, the same as we said last week, you can't put all your eggs in one basket when it comes to, you know, Bedard, McDavid, you know, all these key players and stuff. It's the same thing. You can't put all your eggs in the core four basket because look what happens. We have, what, Tavares, Matthews, and I think Nylander is still out, too, on injury.
Just from the preseason.
I think, yeah, preseason, yeah. You know, like, what are they going to do when it comes to the first game? What's Toronto going to do?
Hopes and prayers.
I guess so.
Hopes and prayers, that's what they're going to do, because their people that they focus on are down.
Literally.
Yeah.
The docuseries definitely highlighted a few things for sure. Like Quinn Hughes, I love him. I love Quinn Hughes. He's probably my favorite player.
He's such a meme, too.
Oh my God. Every year towards, like, final season, I always post, like, a picture of Quinn Hughes. And it's like, you know how he's, like, playing and he's, like, got his, like, hands over his face and he's, like, pulling on his like pulling his eyes down or some shit like that.
That one pic of him when he's in the penalty box and he's just like,
ugh. Yeah,
like he always looks like he got a lobotomy. Like that's what he looks like.
Towards the end of the semester, I always post a picture of that. I'm like, well, it's that time of year again where I look like Quinn Hughes during a playoff game.
I also just want to, like, preface, because, like, as soon as Quinn came on the TV, I was like, hey, Quinn, how you doing? Because, like, he can hear me all the way wherever the fuck he is at, and I'm screaming at my TV, you know, a couple thousand miles away, like, hey, Quinn!
I really enjoyed getting a chance to see him, because he is quiet.
Yes.
And he is shy, and he is silent but deadly.
That's true.
His, like, being able to see and hear him as a captain mm-hmm. and just see how locked in he is totally changes my perspective.
Yeah.
In a good way, though. Like, not that I had, like, a bad perspective of him, but just seeing him in captaincy and being so young as a captain and just seeing how he cares. Like, hockey is his life.
They literally called him a hockey nerd.
Like, no. But it's so true, though. Like, with that shot in his apartment, they got golf on one TV, and then he puts hockey on another TV. That's so real, though.
That's very realistic for what it looks like in my household during, facts. Like, October, November, December. You know, there's football on one TV.
Yeah, because hockey on the other.
Hockey on the other. Or split screen. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what we're going with here.
Yeah. I absolutely loved it, though. And just getting his insight and, like, he's dedicated. Like, he's not only dedicated to the sport, mm-hmm. but he's dedicated to the fan base. Mm-hmm. I guess after a practice today or the other day or something, he was outside signing autographs. He carries his own Sharpie on him so aww. That he's able to, like, sign autographs. Like, he is the perfect face for Vancouver, and I really attribute Vancouver's success this past season to Quinn Hughes being the captain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he has really taken that team and, like, built them up to, like, what they are right now. And I really enjoyed seeing that. And I also enjoy seeing him with his brothers also.
Yeah.
They're so cute. All of them just so adorable. Like, it just, you know.
You can really tell that, like, he's the older brother.
Yeah.
And, like, Luke is the baby.
Totally.
And Jack is, like,
the middle child.
The menace middle child is what we'll call him.
Jack definitely gives off, like, middle child energy.
No, he really does. And, like, I didn't really notice it until, like...
Until you saw the docuseries.
No, I mean, yeah, because, like, I think, like, the last time we saw them all three together was, like, when they played against each other. And, like, they did that big promo and everything. Where it was, like, Quinn face off, like, Hughes face off. You know what I mean? And I think just, like, watching them when they were doing, like, the boogie boards.
Oh, I know.
Like, the wave boarding.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not a water person.
Luke eats it. Quinn's like, cut that out. Don't put that in.
Don't put that in, please. Yeah, I think a lot of people were, like, nervous about Quinn being captain because he is so young. He's literally the same age as me.
He might be.
Yeah, something like that. But I think a lot of people are nervous because he is so young. Mm-hmm. But honestly, age doesn't matter. I think he's able to read the plays differently. And that's why he's, like, the best fit for captaincy on that Vancouver team. Also, I did not realize that Buffalo dogged Jack Eichel the way they did.
Yeah, I had no idea that he was the captain of Buffalo.
I didn't know that either.
I had no idea until I watched it. I'm like, that's interesting. And then, like, seeing that he has this injury and the organization wants him to have a specific type of surgery, but the one that he wants is never been done on a hockey player before, and, like, just the refusal on both parts to not cooperate with one another. And then the way that they treated him after the fact, like...
They literally dogged him. Yeah. And I'm happy that, like, Jack put his foot down and was like, no, this is what I want to do. It's my body. I want to do it. He fought his fight.
Yeah.
And got the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
He, like, stood up for himself. Yeah, I agree. I'm really glad he's on Vegas, too, because, I mean, as we can see, like, you know, he comes to Vegas, has the surgery.
Gets the cup within a year.
Wins a cup.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Sabres really fumbled.
They sure did.
Buffalo really, really fumbled that one. Sucks for them. We got him now.
Ha!
Let's go. Seeing his story, too, like, he, like everyone else in the documentary, were very into the game, like, very dedicated to the game.
I thought it was so funny too, like, his girlfriend Erin.
She's so cute,
but the fact that she was like, he does the same thing every day. And even Lauren, like, McDavid's fiance, said that too. She's like, you know, they do the same thing every single day.
Yeah,
like, before every single game, like, it's the same thing. And she looked at Jack and was like, I can't eat it anymore.
I can't eat the same meals every day. And so he hires a chef.
Yeah. So he hires a chef for her. That's true love. I'm sorry. The fact that he, like, mixed up his game day regimen to, like...
But it can still be the same regimen.
But it can still be the same regimen, just different foods. That's still switching up the regimen, in my opinion. But the fact that he did that, I was like, oh my god.
That's so cute. I know. Oh my god, the way that McDavid's personal chef hides the ketchup when giving it to Lauren because ketchup scares McDavid.
Are you serious?
You didn't see
that? No, I did not see that.
Okay, but like, that's real. Like, that's so real. Like, so there's a lot of things on social media saying like, oh, I knew he was autistic because he doesn't like ketchup. First of all, not everything is because of autism. Secondly, he's health conscious and ketchup is not healthy. McDavid is a health freak and that's why he's such a good player, okay? Mm-hmm. Because he's a health freak, he's not gonna like ketchup. He's not gonna want ketchup. I'm sorry. Take your ketchup and eat it with your fucking chicken nuggets, okay?
You know what's really crazy? Like, we're bringing up ketchup. I was literally sitting there watching this docuseries with my spicy chicken tendies from Costco.
And ketchup.
And fries with my pickle ketchup. This is so crazy to me that McDavid does not like ketchup. Hold on. I'm just, like, having, like, a moment here. I'm gooped right now. But no, that makes sense. Like, being a health nut and, like, wanting to, like, take care of your body.
Yeah.
And, like, all of that. Not wanting ketchup with your food.
I like, also that they highlighted Swayman in the docuseries too.
Yeah, no, I like that too. And can we just say, the way that they introduced Swayman, of him practicing, like his,
oh, he's locked in.
No, he was locked in.
Like, you know what he looks like? He looks like my cat when my cat's playing with the laser pointer.
No, but like, he was locked in. I did like, actually, that they sat a goalie down.
Yeah.
I feel like goalies are, like, that unspoken creature, we'll say.
They're unappreciated, for sure.
They really are.
It's really sad. Because it's, like, a goalie can make or break, whether you win or lose.
Yeah.
And it's not all on the goalie. It's up to, you know, defense also to protect the goalie.
Mm-hmm.
But defense can only do so much, and the goalie can only do so much.
Yeah.
It's like a unit. You have to work well together with each other. But I do feel like goalies are such underrated players on a team.
Mm-hmm.
And like, this past week, the way, and I feel like this past week is just when everything started coming out with Swayman's contract with Boston, but the way that, like, they have dogged him around,
the fact that they said to the press and, like, the internet that they offered him a $64 million contract, and then him and his
agent
had came out and said, that never came across, we never received that. That's
crazy.
That's sketchy.
Yeah. The way behavior. Neely had said, I have 64 million reasons why I would be playing right now. And so it's like, oh, so you're offering, what was it? Was it 64 or was it 66?
It was, the one I heard was 64.
64, okay.
That they didn't receive.
Right, okay. So hearing Neely say that, it's like, so you're offering him a contract of $64 million and he's not accepting it. That's what it sounded like to me. Like, it really sounded like Swayman was not grateful for what was being offered. Like, he was wanting more than what was being offered, which sounds ridiculous if you think about it.
Yeah.
But then it coming out in the docuseries that during his arbitration meeting, they called him not trustworthy in playoffs. Like, they said that he was not trustworthy in playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck?
I don't understand how he wouldn't be trustworthy when you guys had a good thing going all season,
mm-hmm.
where you were rotating Allmark and Swayman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you were consistently just rotating them out. And, like, that seemed to be working for you guys. It really did. So then when you pull Allmark from the playoffs, period, and Swayman is your guy.
Yeah.
How the hell is he untrustworthy?
But didn't Allmark get traded halfway through playoffs also?
I really don't know if it was halfway through playoffs or during trade season. Or, like, you know, the offseason.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know, but the fact that they traded him to Ottawa,
yeah,
that's crazy to me. Like, why would you do that? Because, like, in the docuseries, they said you had two starting goalies, mm-hmm. period. They were both number one goalies.
Yeah.
Why would you trade one? Like, that, I don't understand what's going on up there with the GMs in Boston.
Nobody does.
It doesn't make sense to
me. It's been, like, a whole thing, though, in Boston. Like, it's not, even the fans don't fully understand what's going on. I don't understand what's going on. I don't even think those in the front office understand what's going on either.
Yeah.
But thankfully, this past week, they were able to come to an agreement, and Swayman was able to sign an 8-year contract for $8.2 million a year. So he's staying in Boston. He wants to be a Bruin. He wants to stay.
Yeah.
I don't know if after the media circus that happened with all of this, I don't know if I personally were to be in Swayman's situation, if I were to sign a contract with a team that is putting these things out there that aren't true, or dragging mine and my agent's names through the dirt like that. Like, I don't know if I would feel comfortable signing that long of a contract.
Yeah.
But no. I'm also not a professional hockey player.
True.
So I don't know what it's like.
Well, you know, the Bruins, they're like, when you think hockey, they're like one of the teams you think about, because mm-hmm. like their name is just like out there. You know, they're like, they've always been one of the top performers. They've always been the heavy hitters. Like, I've always been nervous, like, watching a Bruins game and being like, oh, we're about to get obliterated, basically. Like, that's how I feel about the Bruins, personally. And I think Swayman ultimately wanted to stay because he kind of built his career there.
Yeah.
You know, he was a rookie when he got with Boston. So I think he was like, okay, this is where I want to be. This is where I want to stay. And, you know, like, a lot of people say with goalies, like, they like consistency. Like, they don't mm-hmm. like to change. They don't like change very much.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
So, like, maybe that was his decision. But I wouldn't feel comfortable if they, like, traded my other half. Because, like, I feel like that's what they were. They were, like, each other's, like, other halves.
Well, it's saying, you know, all season long, like, this is the best goalie combo, goalie tandem, saying that, you know, the best of the best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of messed up that Boston's like, man, fuck you, Ullmark.
Bye.
Literally. Like, yeah, you're the best, but we don't want you.
Go over here.
But also, like, I don't know what the conversation was or what the contract looked like leading up to that decision either.
Yeah.
But at least, you know, Swayman and, you know, front office was able to come to a decision on a contract, like, on good terms and stuff like that. So, I mean, that's positive. I'm really interested, because also they acquired Patera.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I was, like, looking into this, because I was, like, watching the docuseries, and I was like, oh, they traded Swayman. I have my facts wrong. I really did. I fact-checked myself watching the docuseries. No, it was Ullmark that they did.
Yeah.
But even when I was looking at the roster, Swayman's name wasn't on there, and that was just on Saturday. So I was like, that's weird. And then I saw Patera's name, and I was like, good for him. Good for Patera doing that.
I'm gonna miss Patera in Vegas, not gonna lie.
He was really good. I thought he was gonna take over for Thompson.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, you know, the same situation that we talked about Thompson last week.
Mm-hmm.
Patera's really, really good. So I don't think that Vegas is able to give him what he needs in order to be that, you know, on that same level as Thompson. Because Patera could be on that same level as Thompson if he was given the opportunity to. And I don't think in Vegas he is. And, you know, it's the same thing with Cotter, with Paul Cotter.
Yeah.
Because in the Global Series, he kicked ass in those two games with the Devils.
I know, I saw that he scored.
Yeah.
I was so happy for him. And, like, he looks happy to be on that team.
And it's the same situation as Thompson also. Like, mm-hmm. they had him, what, third, fourth line?
Yeah.
He's better than that.
Hell yeah.
Anytime Cotter, like, okay, granted, in Vegas games, Connor on the ice, what are you doing, bud?
He was falling all the time.
Yes.
He was like a baby deer.
The same thing, when he was on it, he was on it. And, like, I feel like he kind of just gave up halfway through his, you know, his time here in Vegas, because he wasn't given the opportunity to succeed that he needed. And in Jersey, I think that he is getting that opportunity that he needs in order to succeed. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful to see.
Yeah.
Thompson is also killing it in Washington from what I've seen.
Mm.
So I think that these trades are good. I think they're, you know, good trades for the players.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the organizations as well, because every organization wants to have
good
people on their team and stuff. So,
well, they always want the best of the best, and I think, like, each team is trying to build their best of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, everybody is, like, they have their star moments. And could you imagine, like, if you just had, like, the best on one particular team, like, what would happen? Like, would they fizzle out, or, like, what would they do? These are just outside thoughts that I'm having right now.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking out loud right now.
I don't know. I think they would fizzle out.
I think they would, too.
Yeah, because each player would be fighting for that spotlight.
Yeah.
And it would end up being a who has the bigger dick contest than winning a game and winning the cup. I think it would be more of that. But on the flip side of that, it could potentially push a team to
do better,
go further and get the cup because of that need to be the best of the best as an individual player. However, flip side to that flip side.
Oh, God.
I know we're getting deep here. It's also, a bad thing in the sense of, like, you are so dead set on being the best player that you're being selfish and not playing as a team player.
Yeah.
Instead of seeing that your teammate is open and making that pass so that they can shoot it into the net, you take it for yourself and you fumble.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I see that. Just speculating. I'm not a hockey player, just an enthusiast.
No, literally. Also, speaking of the Bruins, I did not realize that Coach publicly called out Pasta and was like, Pasta, you need to do better.
Yeah!
I'm like, what the hell was that?
Dude, and even Pasta was like, what?
Yeah, but no, then he was like, oh yeah, Coach brought me in and like told me publicly, like, hey, before you see this was what I did. But still, like, why would you call me out, sir?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you should publicly call out a player.
No, not unless it's a really, 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 really bad situation.
And I don't think that was that bad of a situation.
I don't think so either. Like, you're all in a high-stakes game right now.
Yeah.
Also, online, I saw somebody post something talking about how Willie and Pasta were, like, pansexual lovers.
What in the Wattpad fanfic is going on right now?
Yeah, hold on. I need to, like, find the post so I can read it out loud. I found it. It says, imagine your ex-boyfriend from when you were 18 became your rival, and then they make an Amazon series episode about y'all. And he's got a wife and kid because he's too old to be bisexual, while you're pushing 30, single, and still pansexual.
What the hell?
Oh my God.
Okay, when I first read that, I was like, whomst? Whomst are we talking about? And so then I'm like reading the comments, and one says, do they perhaps play for the Leafs and the Bruins? And then I was like, oh my God, no freaking way.
I'm
gooped and gagged. I was like, holy shit, it makes sense. And I saw that after I watched the series. I saw this yesterday.
What? But honestly, I'm kind of here for it.
Me too. You know what? Good for you guys.
Good for you guys.
Good for you guys.
I'm just gonna sip on this red vine really quick.
I don't know if that's true or not, but I mean, it's from Twitter, so I don't really believe it. But at the same time, like, you look at their relationship, right? And it's like, maybe.
On another note. Let's talk about Daddy Tkachuk and how he cried. I did not realize that this man sobbed hysterically.
I saw that. Like, watching that back and everything, he looks like a weight had been lifted off of his shoulders, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, you could definitely tell it was, like, a proud dad moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially watching, like, his oldest son be the one to win the cup and be the first one to get the Tkachuk name.
on the Stanley, you know?
Yeah. I think that was, like, again, it was really nice, like, as the family to, like, see and to finally get their name on the cup, like you said.
Yeah.
Now, I hope a Hughes brother gets it. I really do. Like, let the Hughes children get it.
Yeah.
I know they're all still very young, but I like seeing these families that, like, go through different generations and, like, having a name finally be put on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But also, that comes into play, like, too. Like, what if, you know, Daddy Kachuk did get a Stanley? Do you think that Brady and Matthew would be fighting as hard for it as they are?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think so either.
I don't think it would be as big of a deal to them as it is because of that. I think that it would just be, like, an accomplishment for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, that's good. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, you should only do something for yourself, and that's how it is.
Yeah.
But I don't think that they would be fighting as hard as they are, so.
And have been.
Yeah. The docuseries, and just watching Matthew in the docuseries, I still hate him. But the fact that that's what he wants, that him and Brady, that's what they want, is to be the most hated players in the league.
But I think it's easier for them that way to be, like, the most hated.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, they always say, like, oh, all publicity is good publicity, like, whether mm-hmm. it's good or bad.
Yeah.
So I think that's ultimately why, because, like, look at us, we're here shit-talking the Kachuks.
Yeah.
Like, this is what they want, and I think it's because, like, it gets their name out there.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah. It puts a focus on them. Yes, he's an asshole, and yes, he be chirping these men on this ice. Like, him rolling up on McDavid, pushing him into the board, be like, hey, little shit.
That's so funny.
And then though, McDavid's just standing there, like, oh. Bombastic side eye. Like, oh. I felt that on a personal level. I was like, what did he do?
I was like, damn. I feel like, you know, being bullied by my nephew.
Raise your hand if you feel personally attacked by Matthew Kachuk. Multiple hands raised, like mean girls in here. Okay.
But because of that, it makes me like them.
Well, we all know I just have this thing about men that are assholes.
Yeah.
Like, severely.
We know.
Yeah. So, like, I kind of love to hate him. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. That's kind of the situation I'm in too. Not because I like assholes, but just because, like...
Sorry.
But because he's so real about it. No, you know what I mean? Like, he's just so...
He's like, I don't give a fuck.
Like, real. He's so real about the fact that he wants to be the most hated. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I applaud that.
No, and
I have respect for that.
You know what's the crazy part? It's not even just on the ice. This man drove his golf cart.
Bro, why was he driving that golf cart everywhere?
He drove his little golf cart.
He said, I gotta take my regular sunglasses off and put my golf cart sunglasses on. Why was that a mood?
No, and the fact that those are like $200 sunglasses each, like, that took me out, first of all. Then when he goes to the beach, he parks. He said, I'm not paying for parking.
I was like, leave it to Matthew Kachuk to not fucking pay for parking.
He said, I'm not paying for parking. And I was like, yeah.
And when he comes back from the beach, I'm like, did you get a ticket?
I don't know if that ever got disclosed, but I bet if he were, he'd be like,
okay, I'm not paying this.
I'm not paying this. Let me call my buddy at the police station. Like, hey, ID number so-and-so just put a ticket on my golf cart. Can you wave this, please?
Or just using the ticket to wipe his ass. Because, like, that's how much it costs. To the amount of money that Kachuk makes, a parking ticket is fuck you money.
True.
That's like a penny.
True.
Compared to what he makes, honestly.
Yeah. No, that's so true. But when he did that, I was like, are you kidding me right now? You're not even gonna pay for parking? Where I'm pretty sure everyone else would be like, yeah, let me just, like, hold on, you guys. Let me, like, pay
you
for
you go
this.
Ahead. I'll catch up. I gotta pay for parking.
Because they're so
like
nice.
Like a fucking peasant.
Yeah.
I think also seeing the way that him, Brady, and their dad all interact with each other, it makes so much sense.
Okay, but really quick, why do I feel like this is us and William together?
Actually,
like, when Brady and Daddy Kachuk were at the bar And Brady was like, yeah, he's got this one. I'll get the next one. I was like, oh, my God, me. I was like, literally me and Will at the bar being like, yeah, he's got this one. He's got money. I'll get the next one. It's okay. It's fine.
No, but it's so true, though.
Yeah, and then, like...
The way that they banter back and forth, too, it's like, damn, that's real.
Yeah, like, when they were playing...
Golf.
Putt-putt.
Yeah. Putt-putt.
Oh, when they were playing putt-putt in the backyard.
Where did they argue with each other about it? Why is that us?
Literally. Oh, my God. We're the Kachucks. That's why we hate them so much.
Probably.
We are the Kachucks.
Yeah.
But at least I don't look like Sid
from Toy Story. Ain't that the truth.
Didn't somebody call him Megamind?
I saw somebody online was like, Brady Kachuk looks like Megamind. And then a fan online had said, all Brady Kachuk does is fight and throw tantrums. Because, so he was arguing with another player because they had told him he looks like Megamind. This happened at a game. But it's like, no, like, that's so real, though.
That's such, like, a badass chirp to spit out. Like, hey, Megamind, like...
Seeing Brady's perspective on it also was really nice, too.
Yeah. It was also, like, nice to hear Brady talk about, like, how he helped his brother last season.
Yeah.
Where he was like, bro, you can't do this. Like, you can't go out there. You're crazy if you're gonna go out there and play.
And then he did.
And then, you know, next game, obviously, he was like, I can't do this. Get me out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I know that's, like, hard on players to, like, have to sit out, obvi. And then, like, you're sitting in the locker room while they just got beat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's hard. And I feel like that does something to the mental. And I think that's why he was like, okay, we're getting it this year.
Yeah.
And guess what?
They got it. I mean, the Panthers were literally stopping at nothing to get it. And I think that's especially highlighted in the series as well.
It is.
Their, you know, dedication to making that comeback. Nope. I feel like... I really hope that Edmonton comes back.
I do, too, because watching Connor McDavid break down and sob the way that he did...
Yeah.
I felt my heart shatter.
I did, too. I was, like, really heartbroken for him. And the series, like I said earlier, like, it really gave me a newfound respect for McDavid and the Oilers as an organization.
Yeah, because, like, I was watching it. And I went back to your comment that you said last week where you were like, McDavid needs to go somewhere else. He would do so much better. And then I watched this and I was like, no. He's, in my opinion, he's where he needs to be. And that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Just going based off of, like, how much he cares.
Right. However, do you think that because Edmonton built their whole organization around McDavid, that that's the reason they haven't been able to succeed? I mean, we can say that they succeeded.
Mm-hmm.
Because they made it to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final.
Yeah.
But they didn't succeed enough to get there.
To put this man out of his misery.
To actually get the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Do you think that because of that, they haven't been able to succeed that far?
I think they put too much pressure on him, and that messes with your psyche.
Agreed.
Because, like, when he was talking about it, you could see it, like, in his face. Like, that's a scary place to be.
Yeah. I think he also puts that pressure on himself because he knows.
Yes. That they built.
That it's built around him.
Yeah. That's exactly why he does that.
And it's a problem.
Yes.
I still stand by what I said last week.
Yeah.
And he would do better in another organization. But I do agree with you on the point of he is exactly where he needs to be.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, and that's such an oxymoron. Like, it doesn't make any sense. It's hypocritical to say that. But at the same time, it's like, the Edmonton Oilers organization needs to do better by McDavid and bring in those missing puzzle pieces like Kachuk was to the Panthers.
Yeah, but, like, if you look at the league, like, who is it? Who can stand next to this man 10 toes down? I mean, obviously we have Drysdale, you know.
Yeah. We have Hyman.
We have Hyman. Well, they booted CeCe out of there.
Yeah, I don't understand why they traded CeCe. But it's neither here nor there.
Who is it that is going to be that missing piece, though? Like, that's what I'm trying to, like, configure. Because, like, I could not see McDavid going from one team to another and doing as well as he is.
Mm.
Stay tuned next week for my answer to that.
It'll take me a week to deliberate it.
I can know because, like, I mean, that's a good question, though. Like, I really need to sit and think on that. Like, who could be that missing puzzle piece for McDavid to get the Stanley Cup finally? Like, who could it be?
Yeah.
I mean, who do you think it could be?
Bitch, I don't know.
Fair.
That's why I'm asking these questions.
Tune in next week when we have answers to these burning questions.
We... Jesus. Like, I... He's where he needs to be. I want him to get there. And I hope he gets there. I do. I really like that docuseries.
It was really good, actually.
I hope they make more and it wasn't just, like, a one-time thing. Because, like, I like watching, you know, the ones on, like, ESPN and everything.
They're not as good, though.
Yeah, like, it's just kind of like a vlog situation, in my opinion. Like, you kind of just, like, follow them around, watch game replays.
Yeah.
And then, like, that's it.
But this, like, one, like, actually highlighted the players and their experiences, which was really, really nice.
Yeah, and, like, we go into the locker room as well, and, like, obviously watching McDavid have the freak out was, like, okay, this is crazy, and then, like, having him sob hysterically, and then they're, like, get the cameras out of here, like, that was real, like, for real, yeah. Like, that was genuine, yeah. Like, you could tell, like, that was not,
and, like,
a staged situation.
No, not at all. And, like, seeing all of that too, it makes sense as to why he didn't go out when he was awarded the Conn Smythe, because he needed to be with his team. That was the best place for him to be, was with his team.
He needed a moment to himself, and you know what, let that man have it. That, let him just have a moment. And it's like he said, he's like, you can win this trophy, you can win that trophy, but nothing matters to a hockey player but the Stanley.
Yeah.
And that's what he said.
It's true, though.
And it's not like he didn't want to go out. He needed that moment for himself and his team to, like, just sit back and be like, damn, it was so close.
Yeah.
Also, really quick, what is the whole Lanier situation?
I knew you were going to bring that up. It's been, like, a whole thing, right?
Right.
So, before each season begins, all players are supposed to report to a mandatory physical. And this mandatory physical, especially the LTIR and those that have been injured in the offseason, it is a physical that determines whether or not they come back.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, physically capable to come back to the game, or if they need to stay on LTIR. And with the LTIR players, it is, like, basically just proves that they're still not able to play, and so that they can get, you know, their paycheck for the year or whatever.
Right.
You know, still get their pay. So Lanier doesn't show up to the mandatory physical, stating unique circumstances as to why he can't. He knew he was going to miss it. VGK knew that he was going to miss it. The NHL knew. The NHLPA knew that he was going to miss it.
Mm.
Nobody knows what the unique circumstances were, except for those that know, which are the
organization,
you know, people and organizations that I just listed off. So it was kind of like up in the air on what was going to happen. And, you know, Vegas has been in hot water because of their cap space and the LTIR in the past and whatnot. So,
talking about you, Stone.
Dude literally lives on LTIR.
Stone, you were getting us in so much heat for that shit.
So, with that, people are like, okay, any normal other organization would be like, you missed it, goodbye. You are out. You clearly didn't show when you were supposed to. You don't get your money. Goodbye. Sayonara. Avidazay. See you later.
Bro, it's literally the same concept like having any job ever.
Yeah, you no call, no show, you no longer have a job.
Correct.
It frees up cap space. That whole situation with him does not affect Vegas's LTIR cap space.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, it's a win-win in the sense of, like, Vegas isn't affected by him anymore. Mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't really, like, affecting the organization to begin with, but even more so now, he's definitely not affecting them. And he still gets paid the last of his contract. There's all kinds of, like, fraudulent stuff happening with him.
Yeah.
So I don't know. But it just kind of, like, I feel like this whole situation just kind of proves that Vegas actually cares about their players that they have.
And their well-being, yeah.
And their well-being, yeah. But I don't know. People are still going to bitch and complain about Vegas. Still.
Yeah. There's always something to be said about Vegas. Like, no matter what, whether... It's always negative, too. Like,
yeah.
And I don't know... Because, like, Vegas has literally... Like, the Vegas Golden Knights specifically, like, they came in at, like, a really rough time for the city. And, like, they basically brought everybody together. And I feel like the city really banded together. Because of the Vegas Golden Knights. Like, yeah. The city has banded together and, like, stood on it. Mm-hmm. And, like, maybe that's why people have some type of way. But, like, you don't understand the meaning behind it.
So, I mean, people can hate Vegas all they want. But it's not going to change the fact that Vegas is a hockey town.
Period.
Just like Arizona should be a hockey town, but you know, it's fine.
We all know how we feel about Arizona. Now going to Utah.
I love Arizona. I love the Coyotes.
They deserve so much better though. So like I'm sad that they went to Utah.
Yeah.
And now they're just Utah Hockey Club, which...
Oh, inside scoop on that.
Oh, what?
Breaking news. No, I'm just kidding.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, I had heard that Utah Hockey Club is not going to be the name of the organization.
Then why are they playing as Utah Hockey Club? I'm confused.
Well, okay, so most teams have more than 5 minutes to get it together and figure things out.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know, and the inside scoop that I got also does not know if the name is going to be, like, the actual name of the organization is going to be released on the first day of the regular season for them, which would be Tuesday at, 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Against the Blackhawks.
Which I will be tuning in.
I will be too. I have class at 7:30, but fuck that.
Well, I'll just be getting
we got hockey, okay? That is way more important than environmental chemistry. So, they don't know if the new name is going to be officially announced on opening night.
Yeah.
Or if it's going to be announced at the beginning of next season. But the name of the organization... Utah Yetis.
Thank God, honestly. Because, like, Utah Hockey Club, like, she was cute, she was fun. But, like, it looks like college jerseys to me. Like, you know how, like, Michigan, like, has the thing, like going diagonally?
Yeah.
Like, it looks like... college to me. It doesn't look like National Hockey League, babe.
So their, like, regular jerseys remind me of the reverse retro Vegas jerseys.
Yes. But I love the retros.
I do too. I'm not gonna lie, I also like the Utah jerseys. I think because I love the simplicity of it, but I do agree with you. It definitely looks like a college instead of a professional hockey team's jersey. I've seen this picture of Jamie Drysdale.
Mm-hmm.
You know, used to play on Anaheim when he got traded to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I've seen this picture, and someone goes, where did this drip come from? And I'm like, Philly will do that to a guy. That game, the preseason game between the Sharks and Vegas.
I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch the game, but I watched the score, and it was, like, the ping-ponging back and forth, and then the fact that, like, the Sharks beat Vegas.
It was by, like, 1 point, right?
Yeah, it wasn't anything, like, major, but still very shocking. It was, like, a 6-5 Sharks win. Yeah. But it was, like, a ping pong back and forth.
That's a high-scoring game.
For the Sharks, definitely.
Yeah. Oh, no.
So I feel like, and I had told Annie this.
Yeah.
I was like, if the Sharks play... If they play this lineup, they could probably do something.
I mean, they had a lot of trades during, like, the offseason.
Yeah.
And, like, they had a lot of picks during draft season.
They also have the number one draft pick.
Exactly.
Who is injured right now. He got injured in preseason.
These preseason games, like, really,
I know
really...
they be killing me with these injuries. That's all for this week's episode of the Power Play Sisters. Don't forget to follow and rate and tune in next week where we will be discussing the first round of regular season games.
Bye!